Yeah, I mean it is. I mean it. Oddly enough, I mean it is more a New York archive, secondarily London archive, than it is Ireland, as it were. And I'm quite chuffed, I mean, that it has been accepted by the National Library of Ireland, because in New York Library wanted it and London wanted it. And for me, it's a kind of a coming home. It's kind of, I mean, I am Irish, and it's a giving to the Irish nation, that gave me life, as it were, birth, back something of what I have received. And a lot of the people documented in the archive, of course, are gone to the other side, but they were Irish or of Irish origin. So, you know, as a T.S. Eliot says, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring is to be back where we started and know it for the first time." So I find it moving that my archive is going home, even though it's a diaspora emigrant archive. But I think it has a lot of hopefully information, education, help for people who come after me, about the struggle we as immigrants made and did, not only for ourselves, but for other people.
The process began, I believe, when your friend Matthias saw this large box of items at your home in Lahinch, and he was the one who, I guess, began the painstaking process of work on it, because there's such a wealth of material in it. I mean, had compiling it in proper chronological order, and possibly even donating it further down the line, ever occurred to you before, Bernard? Or was it when Matthias saw it and said, "Oh, what's that?" And when you told him, he said, "Can I be tasked with sorting it out?" That you thought, there's something in this.
Yes, he did. We did, but he primarily has been my backbone in this. He searched around the world. I mean, everywhere from Los Angeles to San Francisco to New York, Boston, London, Galway, and then Dublin, and eventually, after quite a bit of discernment, reflection, and discussion with my husband Billy, we decided, yeah, if Ireland will have it, then it is indeed our gift and their gift to accept it from me. It's very important because I think it's very important because, as I told you before, I think in our last interview, there are 500, 600 letters that I received after the Late Late Show, World AIDS Day. As you know, I was the first to bring AIDS to the nation's attention on the Late Late at that level. And subsequently, I got deluged with letters from people all over Ireland. And I kept them, and they're in the archive, and they bespeak an Ireland that, for the most part, thankfully, doesn't exist anymore, you know, about the oppression, suppression, et cetera, of sexualities and the terrible homophobia and the guilt and shame that Catholicism had loaded our people with around their sexuality, be they straight or gay. And I became a kind of a lightning rod on that show, that people could write to me and pour out their hearts to me, as I say, whether they were gay or not. I mean, when lots of parents wrote to me, who had young children and wondered how they would fare in their own psychosexual development. People came to see me, so on and so on. So at that level, I think one of the most moving parts of the archive are the letters, and they belong very much to Ireland, for Ireland, and they are accessible, even though we will indeed, with the appropriate authorities, make sure that nobody's confidentiality is breached or broken.
And going back over the material over the number of years that it took to put the archives in chronological order with Matthias, Bernard, I'm sure there were moments of nostalgia and fond memories coming back to you. But given what you've just described, were there moments of difficulty reading back or looking over back over material, or has enough water passed under the bridge, has enough time passed that you're able to look at these things and view these things from a distance without them affecting you the way they would have at the time?
Very good question. I mean, I think we're dealing here as well with very virtuous concept of forgiveness. And while I would hope that I am a forgiving man, there are parts of my life that I will never forget, and people who did damage to us as LGBTQI and to me personally, I would personally want to forgive them, but I cannot forget the hurt. The hurt is there, will always be with me. It's a kind of, it's not an open wound, but it's a badge of honor that what we achieved as a people, both in Ireland and the Irish abroad, came at a very high cost and a dear price. So I could never have done it without Matthias Wibowo, and Billy couldn't have done it, because Billy is too close to me. As you know, we're married for together a long time, 29 years, and you know, he could look at it and then walk away. I couldn't even look at it at times. So, because it would bring up, evoke such memories of horror, of rejection, of some of it suicidal, for people who were quote-unquote diagnosed dying with AIDS and had no future and they killed themselves. And I knew about that, and I knew it was going to happen, and there was nothing I could do about it. So there was an awful lot of material that was too much. So when Matthias is a complete outsider who hardly knew me at the time, when he came to Bartraw and saw the shelves and kind of was curious, and then said, well, I'm interested in you, I'd like to go through it. And then slowly but surely this evolved into collating the entire archive and put into in chronological order. And when he was doing that over the three-year period, he would invite me to check out things, but I couldn't read the archives, Alan. I just couldn't. It would be too much. I can read pieces of it, and I can refer to pieces of it, but no. That's better left for heaven. If I want that kind of memory to flourish and be free, because it weighs me down still. So not only me, but a lot of people of that era who were involved in the HIV/AIDS pandemic.
While the unveiling then, Bernard, of the archive on the 29th of November, I'm sure will be a proud occasion for you and for Billy and everyone else involved. Will it be cathartic in a way then? I mean, you know, you will still have memories of some of the stuff that caused you pain at the time. As you say, it was difficult to look at some of it, but just having the material gone from under your roof, will that kind of, it's not there, it's so close to you, and that, you know, the maybe at times the possibility of looking through it, even if you don't want it, it'll just be gone from you.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, it's putting closure. It's drawing a line under, and I'm doing it in, I mean, there are many things in the world, and not least the Ukrainian war and people's economies and homelessness and all of that, that are very serious and extraordinarily painful. Yet, as far as we as a community, HIV/AIDS, and also we LGBTQIA+ people, we live in an era of hope still, even though there is regression. As you know, there's a lot of right-wing swing in the world, and we could have our rights taken away as quickly as we got them. But yet, to come home to Ireland and to do it in a country that is unrecognizable from my time there, you know, growing up in the 50s and 60s. Yes, it's the fact that the Dublin, you know, National Library of Ireland wanted them even. I mean, there was a time, I'm sure, you know, and maybe David Norris, Senator David Norris, could say more about this certainly than I, but, you know, the idea of archiving this stuff or anything about queer sexuality would be unthinkable. Mm. So it's a moment of great hope and great gratitude for me, and indeed joy. It's joy-filled. I couldn't do the work that I did there, and I admire and deeply respect. I just mentioned David Norris and Tony Walsh and other people, Kieran Rose, that have stayed and plowed the fields of Ireland so that we could be free. I couldn't do that. I had to leave, like thousands of others. But to be able to come home to fields that have been plowed and that are giving, what would you say, the fruit of their labors, and hopefully some fruit of our labors as diaspora, and to kind of rejoice in that harvest. That's what the archive is for me. I'm rejoicing in a harvest. The work is not done. I don't think the work of justice will ever be done for any group, be they women, be they black people, be they us. We must keep going on. And I mean, hope is the oxygen that keeps us going in our working for justice. But we must never take our rights, our freedoms, even as a nation, irrespective of particular groups. We must never take it for granted. We always have to work at it, as we can see the threat to democracies in the world at the moment. Freedom is a precious stone. It's more important than happiness. You cannot cling to happiness. Happiness does not respond to clinging, but freedom, to be free to love, to be free to imagine, to be free to live. That more than anything is, I think, what that archive is saying. We broke free.
What do you hope those who view the archive will take away from it? A feeling of hope, triumph over adversity, or?
Yes. The impossible is possible. And anybody, even in the scientific communities, I mean, you know, you imagine stuff and then eventually, you know, imagination is the theater of the heart, and to go after your own ideals, you know, I think all people have ideals, and the difference between people is not that some have ideals and some don't, but some people are true to their ideals. And as I think as Nelson Mandela said, you know, the arc of justice points towards freedom. It may not look a lot like that at the moment in our world, but again, hope, truth crushed to earth, will always rise, no matter what. No matter what, I believe that, absolutely, yes.
Bernard Lynch, thank you so much for joining us on Morning Focus.
Thank you, Alan, very much for having me again.